TalkNetRadio.com, the new sound of talk radio.
Welcome to Age Management Medicine in the 21st Century with Dr. Harvey S. Bartnoff. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on the show are solely those of the host, guests, and callers. Now helping you with age management in the 21st century, here's Dr. Harvey S. Bartnoff.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Age Management Medicine in the 21st Century. This is your host, Dr. Harvey S. Bartnoff, Physician Director of California Longevity and Vitality Medical Institute. And we are live on TalkNetRadio.com. Today's topic is treating female menopause safely in 2004 using bioidentical hormones. My guest today is Dr. Pamela W. Smith, author of HRT, The Answers, and we'll be introducing Dr. Smith in just a moment. But first, why is female menopause important? For the women listening, the question for you is, what symptoms or problems are you having that could be related to female menopause? For the men listening, what symptoms or problems is your mother, grandfather, aunt, sister, wife, or girlfriend having that could be related to female menopause? For those of you just tuning in today for the first time, we wanted to give you just a little background about the show. This program will be an informal series of discussions, questions, and answers about how to manage the aging process medically and successfully. We've chosen topics that we felt would be interesting, but that's where you, the listener, comes in. We want you to participate actively by calling in with your questions, comments, or opinions to the toll-free number, which is 1-866-473-2176. That's 1-866-473-2176 to ask a question to Dr. Smith or myself. And please remember that no question is too silly or too stupid. The only way to get an answer or to learn is to ask the question. And it's very likely that others have the exact same question that you're thinking but might feel a little uncomfortable calling in. But that's okay. We're here to help and to provide honest answers without hype in a comfortable atmosphere. Before we jump into female menopause, let's just take a minute to explain what age management medicine is. This newer area of specialization in medicine is all about improving health span, improving quality of life, and delaying disease. It incorporates the established practice of preventive medicine along with balanced hormone replacement using only bioidentical or natural hormones. And age management medicine includes nutrition, supplements, and lifestyle changes, as well as integrative medicine. For more information, please go to my website, www.longevitymd.net. That's longevitymd.net. Well, what is menopause? The menopause refers to a decline in female hormones in women, often with a significant drop when they are in their 40s or 50s, including estrogens, progesterone, and testosterone. This is often associated with numerous symptoms and changes in the body. Menopause is defined as having no menstrual cycle for 12 months, and yet we know that some symptoms, called perimenopausal symptoms, may occur up to 10 to 15 years before actual menopause. And as Dr. Smith writes in her book, every day in the U.S., about 3,500 women begin menopause. And we know that due to longer lifespans, many women can expect to spend 3 decades or longer in menopause. The symptoms of menopause are many, and we've listed these on the website, but in short, the symptoms of low estrogen levels may include fatigue, low energy, lack of sexual drive, painful intercourse, depression, hot flashes, menstrual changes, headaches, hair and skin changes, and the symptoms of low progesterone may include sleep changes, anxiety, irritability, emotional swings, sometimes painful or swollen breasts, other swelling, menstrual changes, headaches, and possible weight change. And what's interesting is what we're talking about today relates to oral estrogens versus topical estrogens. Oral estrogens, the most common that are used in this country, include horse estrogens, which is the main ingredient, or one of the ingredients, I should say, that's in Premarin, along with some of the natural hormones that are in Premarin. But Premarin is derived from the urine of pregnant horses. And oral estrogens can cause a lot of things that are not good in the body when compared to the topical or bioidentical hormones. First of all, we know that oral horse estrogen, Premarin, increases fat mass by about 2.5 pounds and decreases muscle mass by about 2.5 pounds when women take it for about 6 months. Bioidentical estradiol does not increase fat mass and does not decrease muscle mass. And by the way, all this information is referenced on my website, and the references are there in the medical literature. We know that oral estrogens increase a protein called CRP, which is an independent risk factor for stroke, heart attacks, and certain cancers. Therefore, it's really not surprising that the Premarin-only arm of the Women's Health Initiative that was just published last month in the Journal of the American Medical Association, that study in women taking Premarin only did reveal a significant increase in stroke risk. Bioidentical estrogen does not increase this CRP protein. Oral horse estrogen, we've talked about already and why it's not the same thing as bioidentical. Bioidentical estrogen, when applied on the skin in the correct dose and when balanced with bioidentical progesterone, avoids most, if not all, of the unwanted side effects from Premarin. We know that oral estrogens decrease the blood levels of IGF-1, which is the active form of your body's own natural growth hormone. And IGF-1 is important in maintaining muscle and bone mass while decreasing fat mass. Bioidentical estradiol, when applied to the skin, however, does not decrease IGF-1, and actually in some people it might even increase it somewhat. We know that oral estrogens decrease the level of free testosterone due to an increase in a protein made by the liver called sex hormone binding globulin. When the testosterone level decreases, women have decreased interest in sex, decreased intensity of orgasms, and we know that testosterone helps to maintain muscle and bone mass. Yet, bioidentical estrogen applied to the skin does not affect these level of testosterone. Oral estrogen can increase blood clotting factors, therefore would increase the risk of heart attack, stroke, and even possibly Alzheimer's and dementia. But bioidentical estradiol does not significantly increase these factors. Oral estrogens do increase blood pressure, risk of gallstones, and so forth, but bioidentical does not have these effects. So taking into account all these factors, it's no wonder that Premarin prescriptions in the U.S. have plunged by about half between 1999 and 2003. The bioidentical progesterone has many benefits that the synthetic progesterone does not have. The synthetic progesterone, commonly called Provera, or the Pro in PremPro, has many adverse effects, and that's why the PremPro arm of the Women's Health Initiative study did show not only an increased risk of stroke, but had increased risk of heart attack, breast cancer, blood clots, as well as dementia. Natural progesterone, we know, does not affect the HDL, or good cholesterol, whereas the synthetic Provera has been shown to decrease the good cholesterol, and therefore that would explain some of these risk factors. Natural progesterone has benefits on the heart, other blood vessels, and even in the brain. So what is individualized hormone replacement therapy? Well, we know that every woman's body is unique and different, and part of this is due to genetic factors, body shape changes, nutrition, lifestyle, other medical conditions, and other medications. And over time, a woman's hormonal needs may shift. Therefore, the specific dosing of hormones is different for every woman during menopause in the premenopausal period. So, let's go ahead. We're going to introduce today's guest, who is Dr. Pamela W. Smith. She's a physician and also has a master's in public health degree. She's author of HRT, Hormone Replacement Therapy, The Answers, A Concise Guide for Solving the Hormone Replacement Therapy Puzzle. Her book is available at Borders or MedHouse Pharmacy through a link on my website. It was published in 2003. It's a great read, very concise, 116 pages in paperback. Dr. Smith is board certified in internal medicine, emergency medicine, and anti-aging medicine. She's the owner and director of the Center for Healthy Living and Longevity and has 4 clinics in Michigan and has treated several thousand women with bioidentical hormones. Dr. Smith, welcome.
Well, good evening. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Tell us how you became involved in using bioidentical hormones.
Well, my interest, I began as an emergency room physician. I was one of the Detroit Medical Center, which is a trauma center, for 22 years, and became interested when I started having my own hormonal problems, specifically insomnia. I was used to going from day to night shift without any problems in the ER, and then all of a sudden I couldn't sleep. And this is a symptom of perimenopause. And had a hard time finding a physician that was able to help me in this area. At that time, bioidentical was not very popular in the United States, and ended up attending an anti-aging conference with one of my friends when anti-aging was first beginning. And second seminar, second slide, there I was, a woman without progesterone, insomnia. And that began my interest, helped me personally, and went on to get board certified in anti-aging and leave the emergency room, and now have 4 very successful practices in Michigan.
That's great. That's great. I'm glad that you were able to find a way to improve your own health and be able to help your patients. So tell us what motivated you to write your book.
I wrote my book for women. People always razz me because it's not hardcover. Hardcover is where the author makes more money. But I wrote it for women in paperback so everyone could afford it. Plus, I also wrote it in a concise manner. I found myself when I was reading some books that I would get sort of bogged down behind the stories, and sometimes the science just became too much. So I wrote it for the busy woman. And it is indeed that concise. You can read it an entire evening, although it's a wealth of knowledge, so it would take you an entire year to learn. For people who want to know more, there's 637 references in the back, and people can pull those up and take a look.
Great. So tell us, what are the most common reasons that women come to your clinic? What are the most common complaints or symptoms?
I think the most common complaints are hot flashes, anxiety, irritability, insomnia, mood swings, and depression. I think if I had to list them, and memory changes.
And memory changes, okay. And how long does it take, in your experience, for you to see changes after you prescribe bioidentical hormone replacement in your patients?
Well, progesterone is the one that changes first. Natural progesterone, you can get some benefit within 2 days. And so women will have some relief of anxiety and insomnia and mood swings right away. Other things like estrogen and DHEA and testosterone may take longer, 60 to 90 days before the full effect is noted.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And tell us, what are the main side effects you see in women who come to you initially and they're currently taking, let's say, Premarin or Prempro?
When you take Prempro or any kind of synthetic progesterone, it can make the symptoms of progesterone loss worse. So the anxiety, irritability, insomnia, and mood swings can actually become worse from taking the synthetic hormones. And that's the biggest side effect I see.
Mm-hmm. Do you have difficulty getting patients to stop their Premarin, or is it already because they're coming to you they are anxious to get off?
No, actually, people, when they come to us, either are seeking initially biologically identical hormones and they've not been on anything, or they've had a problem with Prempro or something similar and want to look at what else there is available.
Okay, well, that's a sign for a quick 1 minute break. We're going to be back with Dr. Pam Smith talking about testosterone deficiency in women and hormone deficiency in Alzheimer's. And we're going to certainly open up to your questions. So please give us a call 1-866-473-2176 for your questions or for opinions or comments. We'll be right back.
Are you looking for an age management program that will seek out and treat diseases and conditions early on before they become bigger problems? Visit www.drbartnoff.com today for complete individualized programs geared towards longevity and health. With programs ranging from proper nutrition to safe and natural hormone therapy, there is sure to be a treatment that fits your needs. If you're a baby boomer or beyond and would like more information or an evaluation, visit www.drbartnoff.com today. Once again, that's www.drbartnoff.com. Visit and get on the track to a healthier and happier life with more vitality.
TalkNetRadio.com, the new sound of talk radio.
We now return to Age Management Medicine in the 21st Century. If you would like to participate in the discussion, call toll-free 1-866-473-2176. That's 1-866-473-2176. Now back to the show. Here's Dr. Harvey S. Bartnoff.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Age Management Medicine in the 21st Century. Today's topic is treating female menopause safely in 2004 using bioidentical hormones. And my guest is Dr. Pam Smith, author of HRT, The Answers. Dr. Smith, can you tell us about the importance of using progesterone in women who do not have a uterus or womb?
It's very important that women have all of their hormones replaced. Initially, we thought that women who had a hysterectomy did not need progesterone because our initial idea was that the only reason people needed progesterone was to prevent you from getting cancer of the uterus. So if you have no uterus, then you wouldn't need to have any progesterone. What we now know is, number one, it helps with the symptoms that we've talked about so far on the show with anxiety, irritability, insomnia, mood swings, depression, heart racing, and bladder problems, but it also helps build bone. Estrogen maintains bone, but it doesn't do a lot of building. Now, progesterone does bone building, and if women only replace the estrogen and they don't replace progesterone, whether they've had a hysterectomy or not, they will have some bone loss. So progesterone is very important for that.
Okay, because it seems like certainly in mainstream gynecology, the dictum is, well, if a woman doesn't have a uterus, she doesn't need progesterone.
That is one of the things we see. The other factor that's very important with progesterone is that it helps the thyroid function well. And as we see progesterone decline, we frequently see women with hypothyroidism, a low thyroid level. And replacing progesterone does help thyroid function better.
Mm-hmm. Good. Okay. Tell us about xenoestrogens. In your book, you talk about xenoestrogens and that even some cosmetics are xenoestrogens. Can you tell us about that and why is that so important?
Well, one does not need extra estrogens. They're in the environment. One way that we all get them is when women take birth control pills and other kind of hormonal therapy, when they urinate, then those hormones from the birth control pills go into the water system and then they go back into people again. So we get extra estrogens. We also get them from meats and things of that nature. We get them from the plastics in the United States. Right now, I have a water bottle sitting next to me that's made out of plastic, and if I microwave the plastic in here, then the water that's in here would get the estrogen. So there's a lot of environmental estrogens that are there that we do not need. Your body has estrogen receptors, and those estrogen receptors have to be bound with something, and they should be bound with your own natural estrogen, or they should be bound with a biologically identical estrogen, meaning the same chemical structure that your body makes, and not with one of these xenoestrogens, ones that are not identical. Synthetic estrogens can stay on a woman's estrogen receptors much longer than the natural estrogens do.
And can you tell us, how does a woman know which cosmetics are going to be xenoestrogens and which are not?
We studied 30 different cosmetic lines in our practice, and number one, you can ask an anti-aging specialist. All of us do know lines of cosmetics that do not contain any xenoestrogens. If you buy your cosmetics through a place where there's a consultant, then that consultant can tell you if this is a natural product or not.
Mm-hmm. Well, it seems like sometimes the people behind the counter at some of the large stores are not going to necessarily know whether the product might be a xenoestrogen.
I will ask them to find out whether there are xenoestrogens or not. And they'll say, well, I'm really interested in looking at your product, but I'd like to come back at a time where you could tell me, are there estrogens in your product line so that I know what's here if I'm going to purchase something.
Mm-hmm. That's an important point. Okay. Many of us are in anti-aging or age management are using some saliva tests to help diagnose menopause. And can you tell us how you use them in your practice and when you would use it along with regular blood tests and so forth?
I use saliva testing by and large to measure a woman's hormones because I get a bigger picture. If a woman's young, very young, and I don't know whether there's a PMS problem or this is perimenopause, I will do a 30-day saliva test. So instead of getting a small snapshot, which would be a blood draw, I get an entire month's worth of information, and that will help me be able to tailor-make the treatment for her. And that's one thing that's very important when we look at hormonal therapy or any medication, is to have it individualized per patient. So the more information I have, the better. For women who are a little older, then a 6-day saliva test would be great. If they're not having a lot of fluctuation in hormones, 6 days gives me usually enough information to be able to do a great job. For women who are way long postmenopausal, then I will do a blood study because their hormones are not fluctuating and they're pretty stable. The other advantage over a saliva test is free versus bound hormone. In other words, what I mean by that is I want to know how much hormone in a woman's body is free. In other words, how much is available for your body to use as opposed to the amount that's bound and it's not available to help the patient. And when I get a saliva result, it is the free hormone. When you get a blood, it is free plus bound, and sometimes I can't tell which is which. There are some new assays now with blood studies to determine free versus bound, but that's a newer modality, and hopefully in the future we'll be able to do that a little bit better.
Mm-hmm. How, in your practice, how do you decide whether you're going to get the saliva test like in the morning or in the afternoon or at midnight and so forth? Would that be to correlate with their symptoms specifically?
In our practice, we use Great Smokies Diagnostic Laboratory, which is an FDA-approved lab, and they have set criterion which are run against controls where the studies have to be done at a particular time of day. So most of the samples are taken between 7 and 9 in the morning, and then there's one day where you do samples all day long, where you would get one at 7 in the morning, 12 noon, 4 p.m., midnight, and 3 a.m., and that way we get an entire 24-hour period of time to look at your hormones.
Mm-hmm. All right. Great. Can you, in your book, you talk about, and we've certainly learned more in this area, about good and bad estrogens, some of the breakdown products of the estrogen, specifically the estrones, which is a weaker estrogen than estradiol, and I know you talk about this in your book. And there's a good estrone, the so-called 2-hydroxy estrone, and there's a bad estrone, a 16-hydroxy and even a 4-hydroxy, and some of these are associated with cancer-related effects. So how do you, in your practice, what's your current way of trying to diagnose and manage these various breakdown products of the estrogens?
Well, first of all, we measure all three main estrogens. We measure E1 called estrone, E2 estradiol, and E3 estriol. E1 in several studies has been linked to breast cancer, and so we don't want to give our patients E1. E2 estradiol is the one that maintains estrogen's functions. And estrogen does have 400 functions in your body. So as a woman, most women do not want to lose these 400 functions. The E3 estrogen is the one that has been linked to be protective of breast cancer. In some countries, and now initially in the United States here, we are starting to use E3 estrogen to actually treat breast cancer with or without tamoxifen. So I measure the E1, E2, and E3, and then when a woman has been on estrogen for 9 to 12 months, or if a woman who comes in and just wants to know what her estrogen metabolism is, in other words, how does estrogen break down in the body, I measure the 2, 4, and 16 hydroxyestrogens. And as you just said, the 2 hydroxy is the one we want. The 4 and 16 are the ones that are linked to breast cancer. The 4-hydroxy is a more minor pathway, but it causes the actual DNA structure to change and become what's called carcinogenic, meaning that it can cause cancer. Premarin, by the way, breaks down into that 4-hydroxy, the one we don't want. So we want our women to have 2-hydroxyestrogens. If they're making the 4 or 16, the non-desirous ones, then we can give them things like soy. We can give them indole-3-carbinol. They can eat more cruciferous vegetables, Brussels sprouts, cauliflower, kale, things of that nature, and that will help their body make more of the two, the good hydroxyestrogens.
Mm-hmm. And for women who are overweight, in your experience, what are you seeing in terms of how the different levels of the 3 estrogens are and how that's affecting these breakdown products, the 2-hydroxy and so forth?
Number one, women who are a little bit heavier, and believe me, I love my chocolate, so this is a hard one to say. But the
You're not the only one.
I really do. The E1 estrogens are the ones, as I said, that are linked to breast cancer, and when a woman's heavier, she will take the E2 estrogen and turn it into more E1, so that's not a desirous thing. The other thing that will happen is if a woman's a little bit heavier, she'll tend to make more 4 and 16 hydroxyestrogens. And so that's one reason why we try and get our patients to be a little bit more normal weight, if it's that's all possible.
Mm-hmm. And how are you finding that when you're giving, let's say for a woman who's fully in menopause and has very low levels of the estrogens as well as progesterone, and she's already overweight, what are you finding is that the hormones will do in terms of her weight in that situation?
For a woman to be hormonally sound is the best weight loss method I know. You have to have the good ratio between E1 and E2, and I'm sorry, the good ratio between estrogen and progesterone. Those have to sit in a normal ratio. If you get too much progesterone, and this has happened to a number of women that have come into my practice, they will be afraid to take estrogen, and they will be taking progesterone because they've heard good things about it. One of the 400 functions of estrogen is to lower your blood sugar. And one of the things that progesterone does is raise your blood sugar. So they have to sit in a ratio so that your blood sugar stays normal. If you take progesterone and you don't take estrogen to balance it, then you can increase your blood sugar and cause something called insulin resistance and cause diabetes. That also puts weight on. So we want that estrogen and progesterone to sit in a correct ratio to each other. Also, with progesterone functioning well, the thyroid will function well, and thyroid being too low is a main reason for weight gain. Also, women will tend to gain weight if their testosterone is not normal or if their DHEA to cortisol ratio is not normal. Mm-hmm. DHEA is the hormone that makes estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone. And DHEA is part of a system that helps your immune system stay intact. Plus, DHEA gets rid of cortisol. Cortisol is your stress hormone, and you need that hormone to live. But if cortisol stays high all the time, or you burn out your cortisol system, your adrenal glands, then that's when a lot of women gain weight. Women will come in with the kind of following story. Oh, hi, I exercise all the time. I'm eating like a pigeon. I went to Weight Watchers this morning, and I have a personal trainer this afternoon, and I'm going to Curves tonight, and I still can't lose weight. Those are women who have a problem with their DHEA-cortisol ratio, and that one has to be normal as well.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, we're going to take a brief 1-minute break, and when we come back, we're going to open up to some questions and comments, please call in at 1-866-473-2176, and we're going to be talking about testosterone deficiency in women as part of menopause and how hormone deficiencies are related to Alzheimer's. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
Are you looking for an age management program that will seek out and treat diseases and conditions early on before they become bigger problems? Visit www.drbartnoff.com today for complete individualized programs geared towards longevity and health. With programs ranging from proper nutrition to safe and natural hormone therapy, there is sure to be a treatment that fits your needs. If you're a baby boomer or beyond and would like more information or an evaluation, visit www.drbartnoff.com today. Once again, that's www.drbartnoff.com. Visit and get on the track to a healthier and happier life with more vitality.
TalkNetRadio.com, the new sound of talk radio.
Welcome back to Age Management Medicine in the 21st Century. Call in with questions and comments at 1-866-473-2176. Now let's rejoin Dr. Harvey S. Bartnoff for another segment of Age Management Medicine in the 21st Century.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back. My guest today, Dr. Pam Smith, author of HRT, The Answers, and our topic today is treating female menopause safely in 2004 using bioidentical hormones. Dr. Smith, tell us how you use, many of us are more and more using these gene-based tests to help us manage people with women with menopause. Tell us how you are using these currently.
Give me an example of what you're asking.
Oh, I'm sorry. The gene-based tests that would look for the metabolism of estrogens in terms of one direction or another, the COMT test or other gene-based tests that might push a woman more likely to make the estrone in one direction or more likely to maintain estradiol, or any of these, I guess I'm referring to the Genovations test.
We do use Genovations testing, and what that is looking at your actual genome and seeing if you inherited a trait for example, Alzheimer's, heart disease, a compromised immune system. It's important to know that medicine had changed with the completion of the Genome Project. We used to believe, and certainly what you and I learned when we were in medical school, is that if you inherited a gene, that meant you got the disease. The good news is we now know, even though you may inherit a gene for diabetes, you may inherit a gene for Alzheimer's disease, inheritance is only 20%. 80% is environment, which is wonderful because that means we have an 80% chance that even though we may inherit a gene for Alzheimer's, then you don't have to go on and get that. The environment is so important. And so when women come in and have Genovations testing done, and we may see that they have inherited a gene for osteoporosis, then what we will end up doing is we want to make that 80% environment perfect. And that would mean to maintain her bone structure that she would need to have all of her hormones normal. Estrogen maintains bone. Progesterone's the strength. Progesterone is the bone building, and testosterone is the strength. And we need all three of those, plus calcium, magnesium, vitamin D, boron, zinc, and vitamin K to maintain bone structure. And so we want to make sure that a woman has all of those working for her, especially if she's inherited a gene where she is going to get osteoporosis. If we notice that she's got a gene that she may have a problem with a risk factor for heart disease, then we do look at all the other risk factors for heart disease besides using cholesterol. There's secondary risk factors such as homocysteine, there's fibrinogen, there's C-reactive protein, there's lipoprotein A, there's ferritin. There's numerous other secondary risk factors for heart disease, and we look at all of those in women to make sure that they don't have one of those either.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, let's move on to female androgen deficiency syndrome. Most women will have a decline in their normal blood levels of androgen hormones. Those are the male-like hormones, I guess, before or during the menopause. Many people are not aware that women do have androgens, although their level is only about 5 to 10% of that in men. And the most recent issue of Mayo Clinic Proceedings, the entire supplement, April 2004, talked about symptoms of androgen deficiency syndrome in women, and they included decreased libido, decreased interest in sex, decreased sexual receptivity and pleasure, low energy and persistent unexplained fatigue, dysphoric or unhappy mood, diminished psychological well-being, blunted motivation, decrease in bone density, decrease in muscle strength and muscle mass, fat redistribution, some body hair changes, and some changes in cognition, and of course a blood test is necessary. So tell us how you use this definition, or your a different definition, and how you specifically treat androgen deficiency in women, and why is it so important?
Well, women need to have a normal amount of testosterone because it's important for a woman's sense of well-being. It's her security, it's her sexual interest. So we do measure testosterone as well because we want that to be normal. Now, we don't want testosterone to be high because that can be a problem also. High testosterone can lead to irritability, and more importantly, if a woman's testosterone is high, then it can lead to heart disease. And about there's 12 basically different kinds of hormonal panels or pictures that a woman is left with when she finishes menopause. And about 30% of those end up with a testosterone level that's elevated. And so if a woman has that, then we need to lower her testosterone with saw palmetto or a medication called Glucophage. If her testosterone's too low, then we want to supplement her by giving her a biologically identical natural testosterone. We do not use a synthetic methyltestosterone. That one has been linked to having an increase in cancer of the liver.
Mm-hmm. It's an oral derivative, and just as we've talked about already, oral products can have problems.
You can give testosterone biologically identical orally. I do give it both orally and transdermally on the skin. The one thing a woman has to remember when she takes testosterone and uses it on the skin is that you do have to rotate sites. If you put it on your thigh, for example, and you put it on the same place every day, you won't get a rash, but you will grow hair there. Mm-hmm. And no, it doesn't help men grow hair on top of their heads.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately.
Oh.
Well, of course, in that situation, I guess you could have, as I would tell patients, perhaps you could apply it in the genital area where if there would be some extra hair growth, it wouldn't necessarily be that much of a problem for many women.
That you could do as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, let's see. We had a couple questions that came in through my website before today's program, so we're going to start going through some of these.
Great.
Let's see. The first one is from Edna in San Jose. Edna says that she's taking Remifemin, and she has high cholesterol and low bone density, I guess. She says she's 63, and she wants to know, should she switch to natural hormones? Dr. Smith, what do you think?
All women should switch to natural hormones. The trouble with some of the designer estrogens is that they do not maintain memory. And certainly as an age management anti-aging specialist, memory maintenance is extremely important. There's really three things that define age. It's certainly not gray hair or wrinkles. We all get those, and we can do something with them if we do get them. But it's vision, memory, and mobility. And memory is paramount. And so some of the designer estrogens do not help maintain memory, where a biologically identical estrogen will help do that.
Mm-hmm. So Remifemin is an over-the-counter phytoestrogen type.
Correct.
And so you're saying it's... as we know, it's not going to have beneficial effects in terms of bone and heart and memory.
It may have some bone benefit because it has a soy derivative in it, mm-hmm. and soy has been shown to show some minor bone benefit, but it will not have a major bone benefit or maintain memory.
Mm-hmm. What is your experience in terms of Remifemin actually being able to relieve some of the hot flash type symptoms?
It does work for many women. So if you're looking for relief of symptoms only, then you can use Remifemin or other products that are very similar to that, and it may very well do a good job for symptomatic relief.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, next question here is from Doreen. Doreen is from Walnut Creek, California. Doreen says she is afraid of Alzheimer's. Her mother died of it at age 86. She stopped her PremPro in 2002, and she wants to know, should she start natural hormones?
Absolutely. One of the major ways to maintain your memory is to take estrogen. A study in a very major medical journal that's referenced in my book, published 18 months ago, had women in looking at estrogen and memory, and it showed almost that estrogen equals memory. The study revealed that all women that don't take estrogen, all of them have some memory decline. And so one major way to maintain memory is to take estrogen.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've actually referenced some of those on the website for those of you who are interested in checking into those more. And then, of course, the question will come up, as I talked about briefly in the intro, is now the results of the Premarin-only arm, which, of course, is not bioidentical, but the Premarin-only arm of the Women's Health Initiative that were just results came out last month showing an increase in stroke. And while the information hasn't been published, I guess the National Institutes of Health did say that there was a trend towards an increase in dementia or a decline in memory. And, of course, the question is that going to be related to CRP, as I talked about, since we know that oral estrogens will increase the CRP, which will increase the risk of stroke, and then possibly dementia or Alzheimer's. So the question would be, some women might be concerned, if the Premarin increases that, are you really sure that the bioidentical is not going to somehow increase the risk of these bad outcomes? What do you think?
Bioidentical hormones do not increase CRP. They do not increase lipoprotein A or homocysteine. In fact, estrogen lowers homocysteine and lowers lipoprotein A. And estrogen lowers cholesterol. It lowers LDL bad cholesterol. It raises HDL good cholesterol. So biologically identical hormones have the advantage of doing all of those used transdermally or on the skin.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's move on to another question. This is from Terry in Los Angeles. And Terry wants to know, do bioidentical hormones cause breast cancer?
Well, I think we went over this a little bit. The E3 component is the one that we currently believe will help prevent breast cancer. Most of my patients take something called BIEST, which is E2 estradiol and E3 estriol combined. And many women get 20% E2 and 80% E3, the one that helps protect against breast cancer. But because it is something made for each individual patient, that really can be anything. Give a patient 25% E2 and 75% E3. So it will be individualized, but all my patients have much more E3 than they do E2.
Mm-hmm. And are you finding that in those situations that the E2 level is in the blood is high enough to help prevent osteoporosis?
The studies have shown that estradiol E2 on a blood test for most labs that are standardized needs to be a level of 100 to maintain memory and bone structure.
Mm-hmm.
And so we try and get all of our patients to have an estradiol level of 100.
And so on the formulation, the topical, where you're using 80% of the estriol and 20% of estradiol, you're obviously getting blood levels of the estradiol high enough to reach 100.
We are, and that's why we don't like to use just estradiol only. Some practitioners are doing that now, and that's 100% E2 with none of the buffering beneficial effects of E3. And for most women, it only takes 20 to 25% of E2 to get an adequate level to maintain function.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, let's see. It's time for our last break. We'll be back in just 1 minute, and we're going to finish up talking about hormone replacement therapy using bioidentical hormones, and specifically we're going to talk some more about this issue of Alzheimer's, and we're going to take a few more of the email questions. And please call in with your comments, questions to the toll-free number, which we know is 1-866-473-2176. We'll be right back, folks.
Are you looking for an age management program that will seek out and treat diseases and conditions early on before they become bigger problems? Visit www.drbartnoff.com today for complete individualized programs geared towards longevity and health. With programs ranging from proper nutrition to safe and natural hormone therapy, there is sure to be a treatment that fits your needs. If you're a baby boomer or beyond and would like more information or an evaluation, visit www.drbartnoff.com today. Once again, that's www.drbartnoff.com. Visit and get on the track to a healthier and happier life with more vitality.
TalkNetRadio.com, the new sound of talk radio.
We now return to Age Management Medicine in the 21st Century. If you would like to participate in the discussion, call toll-free 1-866-473-2176. That's 1-866-473-2176. Now back to the show. Here's Dr. Harvey S. Bartnoff.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Age Management Medicine. My guest is Dr. Pam Smith, author of HRT, The Answers. Let's take a few more questions. This next one is from Mary T. in Denver, Colorado. She says she's taking Avista for, I guess she means osteoporosis. She's 71, and she wants to know if she should switch to bioidentical hormones. Dr. Smith, what do you think?
Yes, I definitely think that you should. Avista does maintain bone structure, but it does not maintain memory. And memory being paramount, biologically identical hormones can do that for you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What about other risks with some of these SERMs? SERM being selective estrogen receptor modulator is a SERM. So
all the serums do not maintain memory universally across the board.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's see. Next question here is from Genevieve in Fremont, California. She's 46. And she says that she's noticed her skin has become dry and more wrinkly in the last year or two. And can you tell us whether hormone replacement therapy would help her? She doesn't really say whether she's having menopause-type symptoms, but she is 46. And we know there's been some good research in the benefits of using some of these, some of the estrogens on the skin. What do you think, Dr. Smith?
Estrogen or hormonal replacement has a lot to do with the skin, but let's look at skin in general. The number one thing a woman can do for her skin is to drink enough water. You need one half your body weight in ounces every day. The number two is not to smoke. Smoking does cause wrinkling. Number three is to take enough fish oil. EPA DHA is very helpful to help a woman's skin look wonderful. You take it on the inside. What you put on the inside is how your skin looks, and that does include hormones as well. I can walk through a room or an airport or a restaurant, and I can look at a woman and tell you if she's my age, which is 50, if she's taking hormone replacement or not, or if she still has her own hormones. Because if she either has replacement or her estrogen still there, her skin will be very smooth and supple. The progesterone is the blood supply to the skin, and the testosterone has to do with the tone, whether the skin sags or not. So women who look more youthful at 70 almost always not only have good genetics, but have been taking hormone replacement.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And tell us a little bit about how you use topical estrogens in your practice. I know many of us are doing this more and more. Tell us how you do it.
Well, compounding pharmacies, and there's numerous around the country, those are pharmacies that specially make things for people. And compounding pharmacies are the ones that make hormones for my patients. They also make any kind of product that I want to make that's a prescription medication. And for my women, I will use E3, which is the estriol, the one that helps protect women from breast cancer. And I'll combine that with things like vitamin A and lipoic acid and maybe some vitamin C and have the pharmacist make them make it for them. And MedHouse Pharmacy does a wonderful job making my face cream for my patients. They love it.
Mm-hmm. So you find that both works better, meaning the topical elsewhere on the body as well as the specific ones that you use on the face, huh?
Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's take the next question here. This is from LaWanda in Atlanta. She says she is 38, and she's taking birth control pills, and she says she doesn't feel right. Should she switch to the natural bioidentical?
In our practice, we do not use birth control pills for women after the age of 35. Birth control pills contain estrogen and progestin. And for one thing, women may not need estrogen. A lot of women are what we call estrogen dominant, and they don't need any extra. They already have too much in relationship to progesterone. The other thing is progestins cause vasoconstriction. They cause your arteries to clamp down and narrow. This increases a woman's risk of heart disease, where a natural progesterone will dilate the arteries and help prevent heart disease. So there's a big difference there. So in our practice, we do not use birth control pills after the age of 35.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, let's see. We wanted to talk a little bit about, expand more about the area of the connection between menopause and Alzheimer's and memory loss. And you've already talked about the number of studies that show how estrogen use is associated with a decreased risk of Alzheimer's. There are a number of studies in the medical literature that talk about this, and I know you talk about in your book that there are specific ways that we understand how this might happen. First of all, of course, we know there are numerous estrogen receptors all throughout the brain, and nature must have put them there for a reason. We also know that estrogen decreases the production of amyloid proteins. Those are the abnormal proteins in nerve cells in the brain that occur in Alzheimer's disease. So estrogen decreases the production of those abnormal proteins. In addition, we know that estrogen increases an enzyme called choline acetyltransferase that makes the regular brain chemical called acetylcholine. And we know that that particular messenger is decreased in Alzheimer's. As a matter of fact, the first four drugs that came on the market to treat Alzheimer's actually increase that particular chemical messenger in the brain, and estrogen helps to do that naturally. So it's not surprising that that would be the case. So
estrogen also helps lower homocysteine, and homocysteine is not only a risk factor for heart disease and stroke, but it's also a major risk factor for Alzheimer's disease.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, this whole field is very interesting. I know on the program last week, we talked with Dr. Tan about the relationship between testosterone and decreasing risk of Alzheimer's in men, and so one can only ask the question, perhaps there's even a role for testosterone supplementation in women and helping prevent brain decline. What do you think?
That would be an interesting question, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I guess. Okay. All right, let's take another question here. This was from Henry in Phoenix, our first male email message. He says his girlfriend is 41 and she's not interested in sex anymore. They haven't had relations for 5 months and she seems a little moody. Do you think she needs hormones?
I do think she needs hormones, and she needs to have them measured. Women can lose testosterone at any time. Years that a woman loses testosterone maybe right after the birth of a baby. I have a patient in my practice who's 19 and had a baby 6 months ago and has no testosterone left in her body at all, and so she's getting testosterone replacement. After the birth of a child, your hormones reset. Perimenopausally they do. Sometimes with stress they do. So you can lose testosterone at any time. Your sexual interest is also estrogen, so that needs to be looked at. Since DHEA makes all of them, that can be your sexual interest. If a woman's losing progesterone, she can be depressed. There's a lot of reasons why someone would have a less interest in sex, but it can be any or all of these hormones, so they need to be measured.
Okay, great. Well, we're going to wrap up here. We've talked about a lot of things today with Dr. Smith. We know that female menopause is a decline or deficiency in sex hormones in women. Female menopause is common. It's the most common endocrine or gland disorder. Female menopause is treatable, but is best treated using bioidentical hormones, not synthetic or horse hormones. You'll need to get an MD who's knowledgeable about bioidentical hormone replacement and who understands that HRT using bioidentical is individualized. We've talked about some of the common symptoms of menopause: fatigue, low energy, depression, lack of sexual drive, menstrual changes, hair, skin changes, headaches, emotional swings, and so forth. Physical exam and, of course, laboratory tests are always done. Be sure to join us next week, May 18th at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, when our topic will be growth hormone, facts and fictions. Our guest will be Dr. Ron Rothenberg, clinical professor of family and preventive medicine at UC San Diego School of Medicine and author of Forever Ageless. May 25th, our topic will be diets, from A. Atkins to S. South Beach to Z. Zone. June 1, vitamins, minerals, and supplements. For information about female menopause, specific references, and links to references discussed, please go to www.longevitymd.net and link on female menopause, or buy Dr. Smith's book. To see a list of future topics, you can link onto Internet Radio Program at the same website. Archives of this and our last week's program should be available later in this week through my website as well. I do want to thank Dr. Pamela W. Smith for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for joining us. She's the author of HRT, The Answers. The link for getting her book is on my website, directly to Amazon.com. I think there might have been a typo regarding the price. It's actually quite reasonable. And thank you to the producers, engineers, support staff at TalkNet Radio. Thank you to all listeners and callers. We didn't have any callers, but we did, of course, have some email callers for participating in Age Management Medicine in the 21st Century. This is Dr. Harvey S. Bartnoff wishing all of you longevity and vitality. Till next week, bye for now.
You've been listening to Age Management Medicine in the 21st Century with Dr. Harvey S. Bartnoff. Please come back next Tuesday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, for another episode of Age Management.